Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? We have a great one for you today with an expert around VDC, Virtual Design and Construction. We get to talk with Laura Hanyak, who is the Senior VDC Coordinator or Virtual Design and Construction, who is working about standardizing the way we use technology. And she is their BIM Process Manager at Clancy and Thays. And so my perspective today, Tribe, is that this is the third episode leading up to the Digital Built Week where we're going to be in 2023 in Dallas. The first one we talked with Marcelo, who we got into the weeds about design and really learned about these terms like grasshopper and rhino and how they feed into these computational design tools. And then we talked with Johnny Fortune. Yeah, his name's Johnny Fortune, about the government in these systemizing the digital process or BIM. And today we really get to go into, for you builders and affiliates, we get to talk about how we can kind of general contract the BIM process with Laura. So we get to talk about technology adoption from the perspective of you, Tribe, the GCs, what we call the builders, the master facilitators all coming together. So to tee this up, at Built, Laura is going to be talking about overcoming challenges in technology adoption. And I'm going to read the synopsis about that to kind of tee this up, where we always talk about beginning with the end in mind. And these handoffs, or what we call the AOC circle of master facilitators, is not just a step one, two, three down the line. This wheel is always beginning and ending and starting and stopping. And that's really hard if you're trying to do it from one source of truth. So here we go. You've got a brand new shiny piece of technology. Tribe, you're excited. You're always preaching to your team about how great it is. Boy, that sounds like me in my day-to-day. You disregard the initial naysayers and keep plowing ahead. Just keep running against the wall because you know they'll eventually see how much better, faster, and easier it is. You start rolling it out to the whole team with a big, optimistic smile, envisioning the whole group joining in with your positive attitude. Spoiler alert, it's not likely to end with everyone wearing rose-colored glasses, drinking the Kool-Aid. However, there are some steps we can take to try to make the process more effective. Well, that sure got my attention. And so what we're trying to make, and so the main message that we want to convey to you, Tribe, is that when it comes to adopting new technology, purchasing the actual software and hardware is one part of the equation. We have to consider how it can be thoughtfully implemented to keep end users in effective workflows and reduce frustration of learning something new. And how is this going to benefit you is that the message is focused on technology and AEC, architectural engineering and construction, but it applies to the broader process of change adoption. It also highlights how new technologies can create more collaborative environments. And so without further ado, I'm so excited for this conversation to bring Laura's perspective. So let's get in, learn about her favorite beverage, and have as much fun as possible. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Going to go with tea. I'm a big fan of tea. Hot, iced, like it all.
Any tea, as long as it's tea.
Yep.
All right. What about the favorite place you've traveled?
I'm going to go with Barcelona. My parents lived there for a couple of years, was able to go visit a few times. Beautiful for someone like me, really into historic architecture. It was amazing. The food was awesome. It was great.
How fun. Give us one story from that.
We went up into some of the medieval towns north of Barcelona, and just to be there and think about how old it was amazing.
Awesome. And what do you like to do outside of construction that we're going to talk about breaking down these silos through BIM that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, since I do spend all of my time in front of a computer screen, I like to get outside, whether that might be running, hiking, camping, just being out in the open.
Awesome. Well, we're honored to have you, Laura. What is your story that led you to being the Senior VDC Coordinator with BIM Process Manager at Clancy and Thays Construction Company?
So I started my career in architecture, I graduated with a path to become a licensed architect. During my time working in architecture, I actually was tasked very early on in my career with implementing Revit, the model authoring software, BIM software, with an architecture firm. So that took me in that direction. Did architectural project management for a little bit, realized that wasn't really what I wanted to do. Had this role open up here at Clancy and Thays, who are already on the edge of technology and construction. And it was a great fit, still using all that BIM technology experience that I had built up.
Awesome. Well, let's unpack this a bit. Starting off by you're speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, at the upcoming Digital Built Week. Tell us about what you're speaking about.
Sure. I am moderating a panel this year on overcoming challenges in technology adoption. I've got a great panel already put together that includes architect, structural engineer, and someone from the general contracting side so that we can all really come together. We all encounter similar struggles in implementing technology, so this will be a good way to collaboratively talk about how we can get that rolling more effectively.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into some of these problems that AOC is in when it comes to adopting technology. Can you talk about some of those problems that you see with adopting technology?
Sure. I think one of the biggest issues is the people issues, people and personalities. Like we said, you know, software and hardware is one thing, but actually trying to get people to change and understand why we want to change can be really tricky. We also need to make sure we've got the right resources. If someone low on the totem pole gets into a piece of technology, you really need support from above to make that really work and make sure that you've got the support to keep those updates to technology implemented.
All right, Laura, I'm going to challenge you a bit here on this one because I may be a little bit crusty when we talk about crusty contractor who has dove into some of this stuff. And I loved the intro where I read your kind of synopsis of this conversation around BIM, because we have an event this week where we're talking about a project where BIM went horribly wrong. And I'm running straight to all this stuff about, you know, the joke of previous podcasts about digital octuplets and all these things about how to get building informational modeling to pass through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. Can you describe your role as a Master Facilitator and how it relates to the BIM process?
Yes, working for a GC, you know, we really try and get the model out into the field, into the hands of our project managers and operations team. And that's what I really like about the role that I'm in now, is that I do have that opportunity. Our project teams see value in building information modeling. Essentially, we can find and resolve an issue in the model when it's a lot faster and easier and cheaper to do it than if you're encountering that same problem in the field. So I think by getting ahead of the game, we really provide value to our project teams and then obviously to the building owner as well.
Oh, wait, you mean if you actually connect the model to the field and they can just see the model and you can fix it in the model versus just building it and then tearing apart and doing it again,
exactly.
That's faster?
Yeah, imagine that.
I joke about that constantly because you talked about, you know, the hardware, software, and the reality of construction is messy and complicated of getting the computational design tools to be able to actually work. And I love the word role in BIM, because like, what is all of our roles? And that's why we're dedicating a lot of time and resources around the Art of Construction Master Facilitators to understand how to connect the field to the office. And it's little paradigm shifts. You can't start by just, you got the BIM process figured out and your role is now you're just going to expect everyone in the field to know exactly how that works. I think there's a huge issue with the roles of how you figure that out. And around that is, I want to raise my hand and say, this was the part I was most intrigued about on this conversation today, because I have to raise my hand and say, I absolutely don't know anything about what this question means. And I'm so excited to learn with the rest of the master facilitators. What is a federated model?
Excellent question. So with a federated model, we are essentially bringing all models of building systems together into one model so that we can look at it cohesively. So in my role, we're getting models from our trade partners, plumbing, electrical, fire protection, mechanical. We've got a model from the architectural designer, the structural designer, might even have one from structural steel if there's steel on the project. And we can actually pull those all together and look at it in one spot. So that way we can really analyze and see where there might be those potential problems I talked about in that model environment when they're all packaged together.
But I don't use those. I don't do that.
Well, we have the opportunity now too. If you want to look at the model, you're not as familiar with it. With all of the cloud tools we have now, we use Autodesk Construction Cloud's build platform. So anyone, they don't need software or hardware, they can access the model through a web browser and get that same view without it being separated out into a series of static 2D images.
Good job, Laura. I had to put you on the spot a few times. So we have this structured thing with these conversations, but when it comes to stuff that of breaking through the ceiling, I like to kind of challenge people a bit. It's the same thing of getting people back in the day to use their cell phone as a computer, right? It's the same thing. And then it's the evolution of what a www dot means of having now that we have the computational design power in the cloud. And so I really appreciate you giving that answer, but also kind of challenging you to say, there still are plenty of people saying, I do something different. You have to work another silo versus if I'm hearing you right, everybody in your team as the general contractor, you're actually using the Autodesk Construction Cloud from all the master facilitators.
Yes.
And would you say that's normal or rare?
It's hard to say. It
I for you
depends so
it's
much.
your world, it's your world, and I appreciate that, but I would challenge to say the majority of the world, it's change is hard, and like federating governance, all these things that we've been talking about, I'm trying to be as real as I can of and it depends on what focus you are as a GC or a builder, right? Big, large projects that are really complicated, you don't have a choice, right? But the rest of those on the fall down or the trickle down effect, how hard is it to create and manage a federated model?
So, because you are bringing in all these pieces of data, I think one of the hardest parts is making sure they are all accurate. We here at Clancy and Thays, we don't do a lot of our own modeling. We are relying on our trade partners or potentially a third-party modeler working for the trade partner to do that model. So we've got to make sure that it's accurate. We got to make sure that when we're in a meeting, if we're looking at like a plumbing riser, it's got the right fittings on it so we know how big that penetration is through the concrete slab. Or if it's a duct bend, we need to make sure that that can actually be fabricated. So I think that's one of the biggest things is making sure that what we're looking at is accurate, that it's all oriented together, we're looking at it in the right from all from the right origin point and bringing all these together. And as we're working through different issues we might identify, then it becomes a management of making sure that we are getting updated models. We want to make sure that each time we're looking at it, we're looking at the latest and greatest and have a really clear picture of how we're moving forward.
Well, we definitely want you on our team when you're talking about the only constant is change of being able to have the current model and lots to unpack around that because it's really hard to be accurate of blending the field to the office when you're trying to figure out who's what model are you working from and what boots are on the ground executing from that model. Can you dive deeper into the tools that are used to create a federated model?
Sure. So we'll start with a wide variety of native authoring tools. You know, a lot of people out there are using Revit. We also get some 3D models from AutoCAD. If we're getting models from Structural Steel, it's likely from Tekla. We have the advantage of using Navisworks Manage, which can bring in models of all those different file types and compile it into one. More recently, because the past couple of years here, we have been using Revisto, which is another platform that we can use for issue tracking and model navigation. That way, as we are identifying all these coordination items that we uncover, we have a way to track progress when they're being changed, when they're being resolved, and can be very thorough in our methodology.
What a great concise answer of something that has so many moving parts, right? And that's the part where we need someone to disseminate that down into the how it all comes together. Can you talk about some of the other stuff that you do in your role, Laura?
Yeah, so we are involved throughout the entire construction process here in terms of our VDC department. We get involved with pre-construction, so we might help with some logistics planning when we're going after work. Starting to get into some 4D scheduling. We do constructability reviews. So as our pre-construction team and our operations team are doing theirs, we do one concurrently, looking at models. We also assist our field teams with field layout, providing electronic data for that. And then also in my role, I'm also standardizing how we're using BIM and VDC within our department corporate-wide. So it's really an integral part of how we do business here at Clancy & Thays. We have project managers that come to us asking us for assistance. It might be looking at cut fill analysis, some capturing existing site conditions. So there's all sorts of stuff that we can do with technology in construction.
So depending on construction type, obviously different things require different tools and different people all coming together. But when it comes to your roles, how important is it for contractors and builders to adopt BIM? And I want to unpack that question a little bit, because contractors, builders, what we're coined as the AOC master facilitators, what you call these different parts of it, I think are really important, kind of when you talked about all those different handoffs. But how important is it for the builders to adopt BIM, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's important because we can get so much value out of it in the end.
Can you unpack that a little bit more? So I want you, when you say adopt BIM, go all the way back to the beginning, maybe a little bit about just like to this audience of like, what is BIM in your point of view of like how you're really using it? Like talk through that, like, you know, in the weeds a little bit.
Sure. I love to get in the weeds. That's my strong suit. I think the way technology is moving, it's important to stay relevant and to stay on top of things. I know sometimes it's harder when you're working with more limited resources, but there's a lot of kind of low-hanging fruit that we can grab onto to adopt BIM. I mean, a lot of designers are using it. And so when we can, if we want to talk about making a more collaborative environment where we're not working in silos and all working together, the model is a great place for that. We can also kind of pick and choose what kind of how much we're using quote unquote BIM on a project, depending on the needs of the project, to get the results that will help us.
Love it. And what are some of the best practices for working with the trades, what we call the warriors that are out there executing all this?
Yeah, I mean, my day-to-day work is almost all involved with coordinating with trade partners. So we want to make sure that they understand the value of what we're doing. And that they can get value themselves. It's not just a value to the GC and the owner. The trade partner themselves can get in much smoother installations if we've already got that coordinated model. So when we're working with trades, we want to make sure that they also have the support that they need and the resources, especially if it's someone who might not be as tech savvy, that we can provide them with some support so that they are part of this process. They feel like they are a part of the team and that we can all work together. You know, that goal of just getting the project done. We also work with a lot of repeat trade partners on lots of projects. So that gives us also the advantage to kind of set some standards and processes so they know what to expect when they work with Clancy & Thays each time. And I've seen a lot of value in that over the past couple of years, several projects working with very similar teams where we all kind of gel together now, know the motions, know how to get through it, and can really effectively coordinate projects.
Awesome. Overall, how can our industry get better at technology adoption?
I think we need to understand upfront how much time it actually does take to adopt technology. It's not just to buy something, implement it, here we're going to use it, but making sure that upfront you have the resources available to implement that. It's going to be some overhead likely for someone to train, to support. Having that at our hands really helps technology go a lot more smoother. Because what we find is people get frustrated, right? You're just said, okay, starting today, you're using X piece of software. And if you're not a tech-savvy person, honestly, even if you are, you're not going to be working as quickly as you used to, and it's going to be hard to really get up to speed to get back to the level of efficiency that you had with the older piece.
Absolute gold. So these last couple of questions that we always ask to close this thing out, for our builders and affiliates to go out there and connect the right construction technology and products to the right handshakes, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
So if you would have asked me this 10 years ago, I would have said model is a deliverable. I still think models are really important. I think that model as a deliverable is kind of getting a little farther away. However, I think just being willing to share all these different pieces of information that we have, I think people are getting more comfortable with sharing everything. That way we can take this model, we can share it. We can also, I think the other piece here is fabrication. So that string of building models, coordinating them, leading straight into fabrication, I think that's where we're going to see a lot of upticks in some efficiency once the cost gets to where it needs to be. So I think, yeah, just models, continuing the use of models.
Yeah, I love that answer. It's kind of like going back to the beginning, but also like refining the whole way back through, kind of, right? Like
how
computational power is there. And the last question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, so I know BIM and VDC are very big overarching terms, but I think I mentioned before, there is a lot of low-hanging fruit out there that you can take advantage and just figure out really what works best for your situation so that you're avoiding that challenge in technology adoption. You're using what's going to work for you in your particular case.
Great advice, Laura. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We're super excited to meet up at the Digital Built Week Americas 2023, June 15th through the 17th in Dallas. Not just around the corner, where I'm super excited to be the audience and hear your story. Thanks for coming in and sharing it with the Art of Construction story.
Great. Thanks for having me.
As an early Revit adopter, that's what I just love about being engaged with this Digital Built Week team, is you have people that have been using these tools for a long time and tribe, and it's so exciting what they can do. Clancy and Thays, being cutting edge back in the day, is continuing to be cutting edge. And those are the people that we surround ourselves with at the conference. And I'm really excited to join her panel, because I love panels because you're bringing different perspectives all coming together. And I'm super excited for that. And then working for a GC, they really be able to put the whole thing together, right? They get the model to the field and vice versa. And the word federated model, at the end of the day, is one cohesive model. And I've been joking a lot, where we did a lot of podcasts with companies like Trimble, where they talk about one source of truth. And Bill Allen with Evolve Lab, where we talked about the data drop chasm and the challenges of this stuff, of having these cohesive models. But at the end of the day, this stuff's hard. But what's really hard in all avenues of construction is accuracy. And really where it comes down to that is field management, right? Because the problem and both the advantage is that when the boots are on the ground, most others aren't. And they can just go do the work. But I can tell you, Tribe, when the people that aren't on the ground and they're not on the same page from what they thought was supposed to be the accurate, that's when the train falls off the track. And she talked about being on the same page and making sure when there's updates or the dreaded VE or the dreaded all change orders of all these things actually hits the boots on the ground. And we have to figure out these tools. And she'd get a great synopsis of talking about native authorizing to different tools like Revit and AutoCAD, and then niching in of how you're going to do a project. And it's not about just one way. It's about what is the best way to do that project. She talked about Tekla when it comes down into the steel. And then you have to figure out how to compile all this stuff. And then she talked about Revisto, which I haven't even heard about, right? And every one of these different tools all coming together to figure out all the other stuff of a catch-all VDC, pre-construction, 4D scheduling, the operations team, the field team. And the really hard part is standardizing how they do it corporate-wide. And we talk about this is the way. My family and I have been watching The Mandalorian, and I love it because good, bad, and ugly, they'll get done with the end of the scene and they'll stop and they'll look at each other and they'll say, "This is the way." And now that's my family slogan. We're kind of going one direction, and they're like, "This is the Tilly way." Just like this is the Clancy and Thays way of doing business. That stuff is really, really important. And I really like how she talked about that last, because what we're trying to do, and Laura does a great way of bringing together a panel, we're trying to actually make the adoption of BIM be a much bigger thing, and documenting the 20% that gets you the 80% of the results, so you have so much value and stay relevant. And we talk about the warriors, the people out in the field, we got to figure out these best practices, right? And the key for VDC managers is to educate value for uses of the model. And you, it's not a one-trick pony. To do that, you have to have the right support, the right resources, and you have to make sure everybody feels the value, not just go get it done. You have to do a little T before you GSD. You have to thoughtfully get shit done. And that's actually really, really hard in construction, because you have to figure out, when you do that, you have to have a standardized kit of parts for a repeat process. And a repeat process, when every project is different, is really challenging, because then you don't have adoption. And I think that's the key word that we were talking around this, is that you have to understand what it takes to begin with the end in mind. And I loved how she talked about 10 years ago. And sometimes the days are long and the years are short. But then she talked into how 10 years ago, it was a model, the model at deliverable. And today, it's about sharing over and over and over again. And that's what they do at Digital Built Week, and what we're all about, and honored to be part of this, is because BIM and VDC are these overarching terms. Tribe, you got to find those overarching terms, find the pain and fix it, one detail at a time. Crush it out there, Tribe.